Now shall we read together in the book of 1 Corinthians, please, chapter 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. And we'll just read a couple of verses here. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 16. The cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? The bread which we break, is it not the communion, the partaking, the participation, the fellowship of the body of Christ? For we being many are one bread and one body, for we are all partakers of one bread. Now, just look down for one more verse. Verse 21. Ye cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of demons. Ye cannot be partakers of the Lord's table and of the table of demons. Now we've read about communion, about fellowship. We're going to just read an illustration I'd like to pick up from Luke chapter 5. Luke chapter 5. And we'll just read a couple of verses of this story where you have the calling of these disciples. Verse 4, Luke chapter 5, verse 4. Now when he, the Lord Jesus, had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught. And Simon answering said unto him, Master, we have toiled all the night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. And when they had done this, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net brake, and they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. Partners is one of the words in the New Testament that gives us the idea of fellowship. Verse 9, for Peter was astonished, and all that were with him, at the draught of the fishes which they had taken, and so was also James and John, the sons of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. Now we'll go to the primary text that we want to consider, which you've already read in Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2 again. And we'll just read here, beginning again, at verse 41. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, and the fellowship, and in the breaking of bread, and in the prayers. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And all that believed were together, and had all things, here's that word again, or version of it, common, and sold their possessions and goods, and parted them to all men, so every man had, as every man had need. And they continued daily with one accord in the temple, and breaking bread from house to house, and did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God, and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. The fellowship. I would love to, but I will not speak about personal fellowship the way we talk about it, or even about family fellowship, although I'll refer to that in a minute. Here we have read about a New Testament assembly, the pattern, and it part of that pattern now has this little expression in it, the fellowship. What is the fellowship? Some of you are in the fellowship. Some of you are considering coming in. And our prayer is that as a result of the ministry this weekend, you might have a greater desire and conviction and go home to enter into the fellowship. I hope not, but there could be somebody here and you have come to this conference and you are on the verge of leaving a fellowship. What does it mean when we talk about the fellowship? So let me begin by just talking about the confusion over church fellowship. Some of that confusion comes from the expressions that we use. There are places where they talk about, well, here is our meeting hall and this is our fellowship hall. And what they mean by that is that's where the kitchen is and that's where they have their meals. And there are times when they talk about how maybe even put out an announcement, we're going to have a fellowship supper. And so if you're not eating supper, I guess you're maybe not in fellowship. It starts to imply it. And maybe, not to be critical, but maybe we start to get a little confused with the way we use the word. Or maybe it is when we pray after at a Sunday school picnic, for example, and we thank the Lord for the food, the fun, and the fellowship. And what do we mean by that? Well, what was it what was the fellowship during the day on the Sunday school picnic? And then we talk about, well, it's a place where you really enjoy each other's company and you're together and you have that connection and there's that good chemistry and you get along and you feel like it's fellowship. And then they talk about how you're received into fellowship. Does that mean you didn't have this connection, this chemistry, this feeling, and all of a sudden now you walk in the door, you sit down at the first breaking of bread and you got it, you feel it. And the moment a person decides to leave the fellowship, at that point, they'll no longer feel it. No, they say, well, it's a fact that you come into fellowship, and it's a fact when you come out of it. What is it?
A confusion because of our expressions.
Because you see, if it is a feeling, and then all of a sudden, when you don't feel it, when you have a Corinth, when there's competition, and there's the groupies over here, and there's those over there, and they're all in their groups, and it just feels so dry in your spirit, and you say, I don't feel the fellowship anymore. Or you have just one of those situations where we don't even know what the issue was. In a Philippi where there's two sisters and they're having a spat. And you say, what happened to the fellowship? Or a serious case where there's adulteries, not to justify any of it. And a man gets an abuse of power and people just wilt. And you say, what happened to the fellowship? What is it? And so sometimes we go to extremes. And there are those who talk about the fellowship in the assembly as if it's some kind of a checklist. You check it all off. Do you believe in the deity of Christ, the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, the head covering and headship? Do you believe as if we're applying for insurance? And you check it all off and we're all part of the same insurance group. It doesn't really matter whether we talk. It doesn't really matter whether we interact. We all believe the same thing. I know I'm a little extreme on that, just to make the point. And it's doctrinal. And then there are those who go down the chapter and they say, no, what fellowship is to me, that's when we're all out and we're all kind of enjoying working together and sharing and giving gifts. And by the way, that's one of the way the words is used, to communicate, to distribute. That's fellowshipping. And we're helping other believers and we're all focused on it. That's fellowship. What is it? In the Bible, it is always the case that facts are what are going to determine feelings. And in the Bible, it is not a case now when we read this pattern in Acts chapter 2 that we have to pick. We're going to have a doctrinal fellowship that seems a little cold, or we're going to have a social fellowship that seems to lack structure. It is the fellowship. Gather the whole package together. And you must have, and if you are thinking now and you say, I'm in a fellowship that's more towards this or more towards that, let us come back to the Word of God now and look at the characteristics of the fellowship in the New Testament. I want you to notice a definition. There are lots of them out there. This is not an inspired definition. This was not written. This was written by a man by the name of Vincent in his Word Studies. But I liked it. It just says, picks up a number of things. A relation between individuals, which involves a common interest or something that binds them together, and a mutual active participation in that interest and in each other. Now, pick out of that, if you will, just a couple things. First of all, you'll notice the plurality. Nobody is in fellowship with himself in the New Testament. If you're in fellowship with yourself, you're in fellowship with yourself, and so be it. That's not the fellowship of the Bible. Fellowship, by its definition, implies multiple persons. Individuals, plural, that come together. And so here in Acts chapter 2, who are the people in the fellowship? First of all, I like it that there's no elite group.
There are apostles in this fellowship, and there are people that were just saved, and they all come together. The fellowship is not something that is reserved for some kind of a spiritual delta force. And the rest of us common folk, we will not be able to enter into that. No, this is the fellowship. And not only is there no elite group, I want you to notice that there's no exceptions. It says they all. Every single person saved that day has to be that way. If you follow it down through, they that gladly received his word are they that carry on, that persevere, that are continuing steadfastly in the fellowship. It's the same group. They haven't dropped one or two along the way. They continue. There's no exceptions. And so today, if you are a believer and you have been baptized, the expectation in the Word of God and the invitation and the longing of your God, young person, older person, newly saved believer, is He wants you to carry on with a pattern. And He wants you to have you, He wants to have you in the fellowship of a local assembly. The plurality of it all. A group of believers that have something common. And so let me come to the commonality, what they have, what it is that they share. They participate, the mutual interest that we have read about, the common interest. What is it? What is it they hold in common? Well, you'll notice, first of all, the order of this. There are three things that happen one time. It says they received. That's something they did. Then there was something that was done to them. They were baptized. If you baptize yourself, that was a bath. Somebody does the baptizing. You see what God is doing? He's already bringing believers together just by the nature of the second step in the pattern. And then He says, and they were added. They were added. They did not add themselves. It was not a coup taking over the group of the apostles. This was something we talk about. They were received. They were added. They entered in. They came to. And there was an active agent that they were brought into. This was something that was done to them and for them. Those were one-time events in the believer's life. And then we have, and then they continued steadfastly, and you have four things that follow. Can you see now? You see what's happening here? They hold together that they have all received the word, they have all been baptized, and they have all come into, they have been added to the group. A local company of believers that have a common, what else do they have in common? Is that it? He says, no, it goes beyond that. It's not just that they, looking back, have a few common events in their lives. They share something. They have a common interest. What is it? The first thing is what you have just heard about. They all share the apostles' doctrine. They have the same belief. They hold it all together. But it's not just the apostles. This is the doctrine that the very Savior, the one who had saved their souls, holds. This is the doctrine of the Lord Jesus. It's not just the doctrine of men. This is the doctrine that God has put here. And when they came into this and they began to share the doctrine, it was the same as the other believers, the same as the apostles, and the same doctrine that is held in heaven. What a high honor to be part of a fellowship, partaking in, holding a doctrine that the very God of heaven holds. But I want you to see now that there was activity. This was not now something where they would just stay at home and check in online in a New Testament internet cafe, and they would somehow connect and they would check off. Everybody's still on the same page. And we'll have some Bible studies and refine it down, the fine points of the doctrine, and all who vote to accept. No, that would never work. That's not a fellowship. In a New Testament fellowship, there's going to be activity. And they will come together now. How will they do it? Continue steadfastly. There's a couple word pictures we get from that, from some of its uses. For example, it is used in Romans chapter 13, where it speaks there about God's ministers attending continually upon this thing. God's ministers attend. No, these are not spiritual preachers. These are government officials who are attending to this thing. What's the thing they're attending to? Taxes. How does the government attend to taxes? You say, too well. That's the point. Constantly on top of the taxes. Constantly seeking them. Getting them received. You see what this is? This is now an activity when you, what was the definition? active participation. If you are in the fellowship as nothing more than a spectator, you are not entering into the fullness of what God intends for the fellowship. It should be a place where you are attending to it, giving it primary care, always dependent on it all, investing in it all like a government with taxes. You say, well, that might be a little oppressive. Don't take the illustration too far. The idea is that you're it's a lifestyle. It's such an important issue. Active participation. Not only is there devotion to it as part of that activity, but the other use of the word of continuing steadfastly that caught my attention, when Cornelius called, you remember he called for some servants. And the Bible says in Acts chapter 10, is it? He called there for a devout soldier of them that waited on him continually. Get it now? Soldiers waiting on Cornelius. Coming out of Mexico with a load of furniture, I got stopped at a military stop. And they felt it was their duty to insist that I was hiding a large box of some unknown substance in the very bottom of the trailer. So that meant they had to take everything out of the trailer. And so while they were proceeding to dismantle the whole trailer and everything, another military vehicle rolled in. It was a commandant. And with him were his 6 personal bodyguards. And one of them I knew. His name was Juanito. And so when they came around, marching around, surrounding him, and the commandant was moving along, and they were with him, I said, "Hi, Juanito." He didn't look at me. I've been in his house. I've shared a meal with that boy. I said, "Juanito." He didn't even look at me. They come marching past me again. I said, "Hi, Juanito." Out of the corner of his eye, I saw a flicker. What was going on? He was attending. His job is to defend that commandant whose life could be endangered any moment. He was not going to look away. Don't blink. There's a fellowship to take care of. To continue steadfastly is not only to devote yourself, actively involve yourself, it is to preserve it. Put yourself on the line for the assembly. Is that the way you live? Is that the way I live? That's New Testament. It's that valuable. It's worth devoting yourself to it. After all, I think our Lord has devoted himself to it. The fellowship. But now let me just come to the distinction, just mention it in passing. This is not family fellowship. Because in family fellowship in 1 John, where you have that word used a number of times in a beautiful way, people enter that fellowship by the precious blood of Christ. Here you enter in because you have been saved and because you've been baptized. This is different. And that fellowship is maintained because we have an advocate with the Father. It's what he does for us. Here we have to maintain it in the sense of hold on to the doctrine, defend it, invest in it, the fellowship. It's totally different. So that means that when it comes to being in assembly fellowship, that fellowship is not just saying, "I'm in the family of God." This is distinct. But I want you to notice the illustration. Now, let me quickly move to that. This illustration helps me, and I hope it'll be a help to young believers. Here are some men, and they have a fishing business. And they share in this together. The Bible says, well, they used to say that some people said, I don't know whether I ever heard it, or that fellowship is nothing more than 3 fellows in a ship. Well, I don't know where that comes from, but here's the closest I could get to that. You have men in a fishing business, and they have boats, and they have nets. And the Bible uses both words that are used in the New Testament to describe fellowship, and he pulls them both together on this occasion, and it says they were partners. Just think about that for a moment, and it'll help us to understand what is a fellowship. And let me apply it back to the New Testament assembly. First of all, you'll notice that there was companionship. A number of times it talks about they. It talks about these men that were together. And they were partners. They were partners. What that means is that they spent some time together. You cannot enjoy the fellowship if you are not spending time with the others in that fellowship. Mutual, active participation in the common interest and in each other. So let me ask you, You in a New Testament assembly? When you have time, who do you spend time with? Are you at the assembly meetings? You say, oh, come on, you're not going to start on that again. If you're in the fellowship in the New Testament, you are. And so Paul writes to that assembly that is in such disarray, and look what he assumes. He says now in chapter 14, when the whole church has come together, that's the norm. Oh, you say, well, I know there's final exams, and I know there's sickness, and if you're dead, you can't come, and all of that. But when it says the assumption in the New Testament is if you're in the assembly, you're in the assembly, and you're in the fellowship. You're actively participating in it. And every opportunity you can get, you're going to be there and be involved. Companionship. But they're together outside the assembly meetings too. They met together from house to house. When was the last time you had some of the Christians over to your house? You say, I'd be too embarrassed to have them over. Oh, get over your embarrassment. They'll love to come to your place. You say, well, I live in a cardboard box. You can tell I've been used to speaking in other countries. Some of the quality experiences I have in the last 5 years has been under tin roofs with water dripping around all around us. No excuse. You say, well, nobody invites me. Oh, don't worry about that. What are you doing? Go get other people involved. Hospitality, house to house. Make the people of God, the assembly people, your life. That's the way it is in the New Testament. That companionship, that sharing together. But then I want you to notice the conviction. We've heard about this. They shared something together, these men. Now, just suppose, just to illustrate this, just suppose that Peter, I'll put John as the conservative one, his business plan is, I'm going to hold till I'm old. Peter, he's kind of one of those that he believes in spend to the end. Now, how will these two fellows get along in business? You're going to have a business explosion. You see, belief determines behavior, right? And so in this partnership, they have to believe. They have to have the same core values, sharing together, and the same beliefs. And that's what's going to make them act that way. Together and harmony. How interesting that when it comes to the fellowship in the New Testament, before you get there, it's the apostles' doctrine. So there is going to be a fact, the facts that we hold together, beliefs that we hold. Why do you have a ministry meeting and a Bible study? Yes, we are reaffirming, we are putting in ourselves all that we hold in common, and with more teaching and more teaching, it'll bind us together with doctrinal fellowship. But I want you to think about it as well, not just the holding together this conviction. I want you to think now, cross out communication, put the word care in there, because they were caring one for another. Some of those people had lost everything, or were going to lose everything. Some of them had lost their families. Some of them had come from out of town, had no money. And there were believers there, and they were willing to care. You could not be in a New Testament of fellowship and not care for the other people in the assembly. That is inconceivable. You would be interested in their welfare. And you would divest yourself of your own things for the good of others. And that's New Testament. You can see it right there. They are caring. And they are communicating together. Really, we have no excuse in a New Testament assembly. You see, to communicate with another brother in the assembly, you would have to get on your donkey and go across town to go visit him. And you? How many of you could access Facebook before my hand hits his table? How many of you could text a message, right? No, don't do it, please. When was the last time you sent a message to another brother to encourage them? When was the last time you shared a verse you were enjoying with some sister? When was the last time you asked how somebody was doing, you called? We have all of it. We have no excuse for not communicating and not caring. To take all of these tools that could distract us and turn them around to make us and bind us together with communication and love for one another. And so you see that there's going to be this care, one for another. And commitment. It says they toiled all night. This partnership is not some event. This is not some passing feeling. This is a togetherness, a sharing, an interest that is worth staying up all night for. Have you ever lost sleep over the things in the assembly? I'm looking at men and women who have. And I know some of them have spent the night in prayer rather than sleeping. have left their families to go out and visit. Why? Why would they do that? Toiled all night. They're committed to this. And they're willing to work at it. And they're willing to sweat over it all. And you see, so when it says they continued steadfastly in, this applies to all of the words that come after. And you get this idea. Now pick those four up. Companionship, conviction, care, and commitment. Won't take time. You can do this as your own. Just meditate for a little bit this afternoon. You get a chance, or this evening, or at night, on the fellowship between divine persons. Common sharing. A commitment to work together. A care for one another. An enjoyment of being together in each other's presence. You come to the fellowship of a New Testament assembly. And they continued steadfastly in companionship. Conviction holding the same thing. Caring for one another. Committed to work at this, whatever it costs. What happens when that takes place? How interesting that the Bible says they were with one accord. Singleness of heart. It says they were in the temple, probably sharing the gospel there again, listening to the word of God, and the Lord was working and adding souls that were being saved. And there was social support being offered. And there were people, and they were, what does it say? It says their gladness of heart. You see, what happens when you come get saved, you have gladness of heart. And when you're practicing the fellowship, the way it is in the pattern in the New Testament, what do you come out with? Gladness of heart. Increased. You remember when you got saved and you loved God and you loved the Lord and you loved the things of God and you loved the Bible? When you're in fellowship after you've been in fellowship for 35 years. I search my soul. Gladness of heart. It's worth living for. It was for them. And it is today. Because the greatest result of all was, and they were praising God. When there is the fellowship and it's really being practiced and enjoyed, it's a goal worth seeking after. What rises to God is praise from the heart. Are you in a fellowship? Are you in the fellowship? Are you coming in to this fellowship? If you got a hold of it, I want to say, and if I got a hold of the truth of this reality, how could you ever leave? How could I leave? I ask myself. Something so precious to be in fellowship with the Lord Jesus is and have companionship with Him. To share doctrine with Him. To share work with Him. To share His presence. And share His people. May God help us all to have a fresh appreciation. To go home tonight and to thank God from our hearts for the tremendous privilege of simply being able to say, like people in Acts do, I am in one of these. The fellowship. And if I really get a hold of it, it'll change my attitudes, change my actions, and make me long to put this pattern in practice in my life and in my assembly. Now we'll sing the last verse of that hymn. Same hymn. I think I would know the number by